This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall in Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. The great Lou Fitticaro will join the program in a little bit. We'll break down Freedom 250 at the White House, the UFC card coming up. Our best bets, of course, are on the way as well. But what a pleasure it is to welcome in, across the big pond, Jack Collins, host of SiriusXM FC. Give him a follow on X, at Jack Collins, Jack J. Collins on X, and joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. And, you know, we're excited here, Jack, obviously, for the World Cup to begin in earnest for the boys in red, white, and blue. I know there's high hopes in England this year as well. Thanks for joining us this morning. Can you give us that overall feel, now that we have two matches under the books here yesterday, as we begin really in earnest today, the overall feel of the World Cup? Maybe it's just us being the host country, but boy, it feels like there's a lot of pomp and circumstance and people really fired up about their country's chances this year.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things at play here, right? Like, one, it's so good to get in here and be like, wow, it's begun. We've spent so long building up to this, right? Not only just the 4 years since the last World Cup, but it's been, what, 8 years since the US, Mexico, and Canada were awarded this World Cup. And it's felt like it's been coming and coming and coming. And then the season went through, and then you're like, oh, God, it starts in 10 days. So there's that weird thing between waiting forever and also it being kind of like dumped on you at the same time. And you're like, oh, okay, got to find our way to make it stick. So I think just the excitement of it, you know, you can spend so much time looking at squads and looking at teams, and we've built up over on SiriusXM FC for the last couple of weeks at this point being like, oh, where are the favorites? Where are everyone else? How are these squads looking? But nothing beats when that first ball gets rolling and suddenly all of the noise, all of the sound around it goes away a little bit. And suddenly it's like, okay, we're playing ball and that's all we ever really want, right?
That is. And Jack, I know so many people, by the way, I will be on my presets driving around these United States to Sirius Channel 157. You guys do a fabulous job on Sirius XM FC, and it will be a one-stop shop, at least flipping back between us at VSiN and you guys. Obviously, for us in the United States, very focused later on tonight as the United States will take on Paraguay. That out at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Of course, Christian Pulisic, as you guys would say, he's a fine chap, isn't he? From his time there with Chelsea. But now he'll be tasked with leading this red, white, and blue squad. Jack, handicap it for us. Strengths, weaknesses for the U.S. in this group, and then potentially maybe an outlook for you if they make it, at least we would hope, to the knockout stage, if not a match or two further.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's a couple of ways you can put this, and I'm going to borrow some terms from our friends over in the golf world, right? I think around a 16, so winning at least one knockout match is par, right? Like, I think that's where I've got it pegged for the States. I think if you kind of come on one further and there's a quarterfinal in there, that's very good. Anything beyond that, and you're in dreamland, right? Like, absolute dreamland. I think that going out in the round of 32 would be slightly disappointing, and going out in the groups would be a complete and utter disaster for the program, considering they've spent so long building up to this moment. I think that when you kind of look at the group, it's a relatively even group, which can be a good thing and a bad thing, right? I think Turkey are probably just about the strongest side in this, but they're also blowing hot and cold. They're a very kind of weird side to get stuck into and see where they're at. Home advantage can be a massive benefit, can also be a burden, right? And I think the one thing we don't know today with this game against Paraguay, we know how Paraguay are going to approach this. They're going to basically try to not play football particularly. They're going to kick seven lumps out of everyone that they're allowed to kick seven lumps out of. They're going to stay compact. They don't concede many goals, and they're going to look to take advantage of set pieces. The US will have the majority of the ball. I think the question becomes, like on paper, this US side is better than Paraguay, right? Absolutely no doubt about that. There is far more talent in the side. There are more kind of men who are willing to stand up and be counted. There are more talismen. And especially with Julio Enciso out for Paraguay, there's far more creativity in this US side than there is in their opponents. The question for me is, they walk out, bright lights at SoFi, had the opening ceremony. There's all of this pomp and circumstances, as you kind of point out there. Who freezes under the lights? And who goes out there and goes, this is my stage? Because Paraguay are not going to be fazed whatsoever by the fact that there's an opening ceremony. They know exactly how they're going to come out and play. And for me, when I'm looking at this team and looking at this squad, the questions are about how they stand up to be counted in this moment. I think the two games we've had in the warm-up, Senegal and then Germany, both plenty of positives to take out of those two games. If the US play like that, I think that they have a very good chance of winning this group and an even better chance of progressing as one of the top two. But I think that it is going to be about as much as mentality as necessarily talent on the pitch, because we know that talent is there. The question is, can they put it all together when the lights are brightest?
Enjoying our conversation with Jack Collins. Give him a follow on X at Jack J. Collins, SiriusXM FC. Check it out if you're listening on SiriusXM as well. And Jack, exactly what I was getting at earlier in the program here about USA and the pressure, the internal pressure that will be on them to perform in those bright lights being the home country this year. Your country, England, there's high expectations there. The third betting choice here, plus 750 to win the World Cup here. What about the pressure of England? Will they feel any here across the big pond? Or kind of like, no, we know who we are, and we're not going to be phased, as you mentioned, Paraguay won't be. What are the fortunes for your home country this year?
I'll give you a fun fact, boys. I actually don't support England, which makes this easier to discuss. I support Ireland. Always have done, first generation born here, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I am very much a Republic of Ireland man. I go home and away with the national team. But I think I can talk about this maybe from a less, you know, a kind of less biased viewpoint in that regard. And there is a lot of pressure, right? I live here in London, I've done for most of my life. And when you're kind of looking at it and thinking, where is the expectation level around this England team? Well, it's sky high again. And I think those odds in terms of where they're at and kind of having to go through the different elements of this are probably about right. England should be third, fourth favourites for this tournament as far as I'm concerned. They've got a good record in recent years of getting to the sharp end of tournaments. And when you get to that point, right, and you're in the final four, there is always the question of you're two games away from glory. England have lost the last two Euros finals. They were a little bit early in the terms of their exit at the last World Cup, but it was also to France. So you kind of take all of those things with a pinch of salt. I think the questions for England are not around the talent base that's there. It's about squad. Thomas Tuchel has made some pretty brave calls. Equally, England don't play particularly pretty football or haven't done in tournaments gone by. And I think it's really interesting seeing the kind of narrative develop. And the last Euros, for example, England got to the final of that tournament. They lost 2-1 to Spain, who were the best side in the kind of competition as a whole in the final. But it was only about the quarterfinals that anyone really started getting on board, because England had been so boring to watch in the opening stages that everyone was very, very frustrated with that team. And so I think it's a question of, can Thomas Tuchel block out the noise? I would argue he can. He's a very, very experienced manager. He goes into the top tier of managers at this World Cup. If Harry Kane gets firing, there is no reason England can't be in that final four, in that final. And there's no reason really from a talent perspective why they can't win it. The question is going to be, can they overcome the mental blocks of not being able to get over the line in recent tournaments, even though they've been there or thereabouts, and try and kind of shake off that national pressure that's winning a tournament like this for the first time since 1966?
Very good. Jack, we haven't had a repeat winner in the World Cup in quite some time. Argentina will be tasked with trying to complete that, and it could be the last dance for Lionel Messi. As we know, one of the South American giants, along with Brazil, they obviously will have sky-high aspirations to not only get back to the final, but to defend that World Cup crown. Size up Argentina and Brazil. It feels like quarterfinals or bust. That should be the minimum. Is that how you see it with those two squads?
I think the thing is that, you know, having spent some time in both countries, there is no real acceptance of anything other than going and winning it, right? Like that is the ultimate goal every single time. I think that they're in slightly different perspectives, right? I think they're in slightly different moments. Argentina come into this World Cup having won Copa America, World Cup, Copa America. They come back in now with a chance to defend the World Cup. As they said, they're not here to win it. They're here to retain it. And I think that whilst they're not the most talented team at this tournament, good luck getting past them. And they have this incredible mentality under Lionel Scaloni where they're just like, you can't beat us over 90 minutes, over 120 minutes, over a penalty shootout. You need your luck. Of course you do. And I don't think that if you were sizing up all the squads, people would look at this Argentina side and think, you know, where are we at with them? They would look at them and say, that's a side that we could beat on paper. But actually, in reality, that's become a far more difficult prospect over the entire thing. So I think it is a question of, Argentina probably, if both teams win their group, Argentina and Brazil could meet in the semifinals, which would be, you know, I mean, one, a whirlwind in South America, but two, just an amazing moment for the World Cup. Brazil have probably the best manager here in Carlo Ancelotti. They have a side that feels quite lopsided. They are very, very forward thinking. I think what we're expecting from Brazil this tournament is for them to become fun again. Right, Brazil have kind of gone away after what happened in 2014, the 7-1 loss to Germany. And I don't think they've ever recovered from a mental perspective. I think they are still dealing with those ghosts. And they've gone into these defensive kind of formations that have tried to, you know, basically shore up the gaps. That's not what we need to see from Brazil. And I don't think Brazilians want to see that from Brazil. They want to see them going and lighting up a tournament like this, becoming the kind of neutral's favorite as they were for so many different years. I think Carlo Ancelotti will unleash this forward-thinking Brazil side that will go out and try and attack teams. I'm concerned that they don't have any depth of fullback, if I'm very honest. And I'm concerned that actually the balance of the team is a little bit off. But when you're looking at it from a whole, I think Brazil will be fun. I think people will enjoy watching them. And I think they probably will make it to a quarterfinal at the very, very least.
Brazil's plus 950. Argentina is 10-1. Jack, we have about 30 seconds. Who will win the FIFA World Cup this year?
You know it's World Cup time when you start getting messages from people who don't know anything about football. My friends' mums are texting me saying, who am I putting bets on? Like, and I'm like, what are you doing? You never watch football. Where have you come from? But I think she said, gun to your head. I said, well, gun to my head. I think it's probably Spain. I think this is the most talented squad. I think it's really well balanced. And look, they can fall apart as anyone can. But I think that for me, they feel like the best bet to back it at this point in the tournament.
Jack, that's great stuff, man. We really appreciate your time getting up. Well, you're up already over there in England today, but we really appreciate the expertise. Give him a follow on X at Jack J. Collins and check him out, SiriusXM FC. Fantastic stuff there. We're back. Talking some baseball. Daily Diamond is next. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge, but what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools, but what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
Tuned in to VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross and Jensen Lewis. And celebrate, people, if you have not gone out to Vegas yet, the contests for Circa are open and ready for business right now. You don't have to live in Vegas in order to play after your required in-person registration. Twist my arm. Winner Circle Proxy is going to handle the rest. So they're going to have your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the United States. Winner Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas. Play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at WinnerCircleProxy.com. Jensen, we are in line for Circa Millions. Made that pilgrimage out to the mothership last week. Ton of fun to be back out there. So people, go out there to Las Vegas. Sign up today. You can play from anywhere in the United States. A lot of fun having Jack Collins on in the last segment. So before you make some of those World Cup wagers, please like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast and check out that conversation on your time. But right now, we've got time for some baseball to sneak in here today. And let's get started with today's edition of the Daily Diamond. Jensen, you've taken a look back, and then you've kind of caught up on present day's numbers then. And as I like to say, yesterday's price is not today's. What did you deduce to start off the Daily Diamond today?
Yeah, so about 65 games into the season, 70 games. You know, it's a good sample now, Dave, to really understand what works and maybe what has transpired that we didn't see coming. So we took a look at the division prices where they were before opening day and where we are currently for the teams leading their respective divisions and the second place squads as we begin play tonight. What I take away, and for people that don't know, I'll kind of verbal where these standings are. Tampa Bay and New York are currently tied atop the American League East. The difference in run differential is massive. The Yankees plus 103, the Rays plus 12, and both of them have been exceptional at home. The difference, Dave, the Yankees are 22-14 away from Yankee Stadium. The Rays are just 500 at 16-16. So I thought that's a fascinating price to look at. And I agree with the market that the Yankees should be a minus 235 division favorite. Rays currently plus 240. Now, that's a far cry from where Tampa was at 11-1 before opening day, but they have earned the right to be in this race. The one that's going to jump out to you is the Chicago White Sox. 30-1 to win the division. Their win total, remember, was 66.5. Dave, they're at 36 wins. They're going to fly over this total. It was one of my favorite overs of the year. Wanted to get it in our VSiN MLB Futures draft. It was sniped from me, but we still are looking at pretty much a two-team race at this point. They were 30-1 to win the division on opening day. They are plus 310. They lead the Cleveland Guardians by a half game to begin play today. They and Cleveland were a plus 425 division future to win the Central. Now the odds on favorite at minus $1.55. Now they've lost four in a row. They're welcoming in the Detroit Tigers, who've won seven of their last 10. And don't look now, Dave, but as you said earlier in the week, objects may be a bit closer in the rear view than they appear. That also might be the case now for the American League West. It's a three-team race, pal. Seattle leads Texas by one, and only the Athletics by two, and the Houston Astros. They're hanging in, brother. They're five games back. So, yes, in the sense, we have a three-team race. Seattle was almost even money to win the division at the beginning of the year. They're now almost a $2 favorite. Texas plus 340 opening day. They're down to plus 290. If I had to force you to bet a current American League division future of those six choices, where are you most convicted in the American League?
Well, I wish the A's were on that list. I'd love to see what they do. And by the way, speaking of not just our podcast, I hope you like and subscribe to the Follow the Money pod with Mitch and Paul every day, because they had a fascinating conversation with Dave Stewart, the one and only Dave Stewart, legendary A's pitcher yesterday. And in deducing that, as far as what they might do before they come to Las Vegas, obviously out in Sacramento, would they actually buy in? And I'm looking at teams in this conversation that might buy in before the trade deadline. And I don't know that that would be the A's as they get ready here in a couple of years to make the move. And again, baseball Armageddon might be lurking. Look, I don't want to lay $1.90 with Seattle, but I do think that that would be the team that might upgrade. I think we have the same conversation about the Mariners this time every year about another bat to add to the lineup. We've seen Cal Raleigh and what's happened this year. When you remove an MVP really from the lineup is what's essentially happened this year, or an MVP candidate from a year ago. Hard to replace that. And yet there they are, still treading just slightly above water right now. I'd like to think that Seattle would be that team to buy in and get a little bit more help. So if you made me play it, I do think Seattle would be the one, but normally, generally, I don't like to lay that type of price point. But I think it's a fair price, as you point out, at $1.90 here for the M's. That's probably, if you made me bet one of these six, that's probably where I'd go in the marketplace.
Okay. National League side, one division that we're not going to be surprised on, and I'm sure you know where that is in the National League West. The Dodgers were a $7 favorite. They're now a $100 favorite. I mean,
amazing.
It is just remarkable where you are. And for what it's worth, the Padres actually, you know, had an opportunity to really kind of put some pressure on the Dodgers early. They've not been able to do it. We'll kind of see where that division goes. But right now, Dodgers lead the Padres by eight games in the National League West. I think the topsy-turvy part here is in the National League Central. Milwaukee, right back to the top where they were last year. They have a four-game lead over the all-of-a-sudden upstart St. Louis Cardinals, who are not only eight games above 500, they're just four games back in the National League Central. They were 16-1 to win the division at the beginning of the year. Absolutely justified long shot. They're still 11-1, so you can still get them double digits. They're plus 11 in the run differential. Milwaukee is plus 103, so very similar to what we're looking at in the American League East between Tampa Bay and New York. Atlanta remains eight games ahead of the Philadelphia Phillies. They were plus 250. They were my pick to win the division at the beginning of the year. They are now a $7 odds-on favorite over the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, we know what has happened with Philadelphia since Rob Thompson was let go. Donnie Baseball, Don Mattingly, took over as the interim manager, and it has been nothing but a parabolic rise for the city of brotherly love. Of those division futures right now, let's just throw out the West, because I don't think you have any designs on wanting to back a 30-1 Padres squad. Would you buy on St. Louis at the division price, or would you rather take a shot on Philadelphia running down Atlanta? And remember, Atlanta dealing with Ronald Acuna Jr. being out again, another hamstring issue. They should get some starting pitching reinforcements back maybe later in the season. But you know, Atlanta was kind of running away and hiding for a bit, but now Philly just 5-1 to win the National League East.
Boy, I mean, I probably have to go there out of the choices on the board. I can't imagine St. Louis, when they went to the youth movement, this is why they did it, right? And it's working out so far. So I can't see them going now and kind of upsetting their business model here and bringing in veterans high priced at the deadline to try to shore up and make sure. I think that they're going to stand pat with what they have and ride this out with those guys. Philadelphia, it's an older group. And, you know, to me, it's like, yeah, this is the time is now. And if we don't strike now, this core will get broken up in the offseason and we won't be back. So I think the Phillies would be that buyer that I'm looking at here before we get to the trade deadline in early August. The other team that does intrigue me, I don't know that they can run them down, certainly. And I wouldn't advise playing the 30-1 long shot on the Padres. But when I look at a guy like Craig Stammen, and I do look at AJ Preller and his track record, clearly they need help offensively. And whether it's you're waiting on Tatis Jr. and Machado to look like the back of the baseball card that they have for years and years, I don't know that you can just count on that blindly, but we know how good the back end of the bullpen is. You know, maybe they could go out and get one more frontline starter. I wonder for a team like that now with veterans, kind of like the Phillies, not as old as some of the Phillies have, that the Padres need to fortify here too. So the two teams I would look at that would make significant moves would be Philadelphia and San Diego. Even if San Diego makes those moves, I don't think it's remotely close enough to run down L.A., but the Phillies would be the pivot at 5-1 for me as a team that's going to make moves, push more chips in to middle of the table there, and try to run down Atlanta, especially with those injuries that they're having.
All right, very good. Just a couple of plays for people as we get moving here. A couple of money lines, and by the way, I feel like I played every total over yesterday. And they all pretty much hit, except for that dome stadium in Miami. Open the roof next time so we could have swept the board there. We're right back to overs again, Dave. I'll just verbal these for the crew in Vegas. Tigers, Guardians, it's Jack Flaherty, Tanner Bibee. Both have been awful. And Flaherty much more so than Bibee. But the over 8 minus $1.31 feels pretty reduced as far as where that total could be. Going right back to your Mets, Dave. They cashed an over for us yesterday in some day baseball. Bring in the Braves. Braves Mets over 7.5 minus $1.35. And I think we're going to also hit Cincinnati. All these high humid temperatures, we are feeling it here in the state of Ohio. Diamondbacks and Reds over 9.5 at even money at the Great American Launching Pad. Just some of the over totals. If you're a VSiN Pro subscriber, everything put on the site thus far, 10 plays on the diamond tonight, and we will continue the momentum there. It has been a fantastic betting year in Major League Baseball thus far.
Well, I'm just glad that Marmol decided to pitch to Juan Soto with the game on the line, 4-4, bottom seven. Bam, home run. Mets get a win. Boy, do they need it. We're talking Freedom 250 with Loop and Acaro next right here, VSiN by the Books.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
Where has the time gone? What a show we've had here on this Friday morning. Excited for the weekend, excited for the World Cup to begin. Obviously, the College World Series. We've got Freedom 250. Lots of things going on. Oh, by the way, the NBA and the NHL Stanley Cup and NBA Finals still going on, too. So plenty to choose from here. Always a pleasure to catch up with the great Lou Finocchiaro here. Does a great job as our VSiN betting analyst here on multiple fronts. But certainly, you got to check out the About Business podcast, the Sneak Teep Pod. They are fantastic listens. Give them a follow on X at GamBlue. Joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line. Lou, we were just talking about it before we brought you on here for the segment. You're looking at the pictures of Freedom 250 on the South Lawn of the White House. It looks pretty amazing what we're going to see here on Sunday night. By the way, we've never factored in elements before when we talked the fight game here. How do you factor that in or try to factor that in here as we get to what looks like a pretty dynamic 7-fight card at the White House?
Well, guys, thanks for having me in. Dave, as far as the weather specifically, I don't know how it can't affect the fighters with the humidity. I don't know how it can affect one more than the other outside right. of Hokut and Derek Lewis. Now, I've been looking for any chink in the armor for Topuria. And then I see a clip of him, you know, 5 days ago, and he holds his camp outside. The freaking guy is airtight. And everyone I've talked to in our industry and in the MMA industry are just raving reviews on him. I've got an interesting way to use him in the main event, but in my heart, I want Gaethje to win this thing. I want Gaethje to shut the Spaniard's mouth.
Hey, the Roman Catholicism coming out on you right there. We absolve you for any sins that might have just occurred right there, but I'm glad you held in the colorful remarks. Speaking of, okay, so unique card, right? It's on a Sunday, and we obviously have the elements, but also it's just the main card. So no real lead up, no like kind of waiting around, Lou. But we do have a couple of evenly matched fights. One that I know Dave is very high on. Let me ask you about Alex Pereira and Ciryl Gane, because it feels kind of coin flippy as far as the odds go. Do you see that in the handicap for what should be a very entertaining fight?
Well, the number surely tells us that, Jensen, because it's just been bouncing around even the whole time. And I'll be honest with you, there's too many unknowns in this fight for me to go one side or another. I'd like to think that Pereira has the grappling working with Glover for so long. We just haven't seen it. I don't see either guy going to it. And the extra weight on Pereira, we may not see any real effect for 5, 6, 7 minutes. But what happens if Gane, who's highly athletic and a natural big heavyweight, takes him into deeper waters? And so there's enough unknown there that I played the little parlay trick on this show over the last 2 weeks. And those that were listening and followed now have Pereira to win 1.4 units. And if Gane wins, we win 1.8 units. So that was done on a parlay. If you missed that, it's unfortunate, but I have another one on the main event, and we can talk about that whenever you like.
Let's do it right now, because I love that. Again, if you've been listening to us, and this is why we have you on each and every week, to forecast, and sometimes you got to put that money away here for a little bit, and this is where it starts to pay dividends. You've already got that market cornered here in the co-main event with Pereira and Ciryl Gane. You mentioned you've got a creative way for the main event. Look, I'm on the over, Lou, and I know that first 5 minutes, Topuria says we're not going to see a second round. Sometimes people get nervous when they hear Justin Gaethje say, hey, he might knock me out in the first couple of minutes, but it won't be because there's this great difference in talent. And I know people get nervy, but that's kind of Gaethje's way, almost Gallagher's humor, going into some of his fights. What is the creative way that you're looking to play the main event?
So here's how I want to lead up to it. I'm going to bowl for the first three fights. And by that, I mean I'm going to take Nickel, who you're showing at 340. I'm going to parlay him to Hokut. I'm seeing him at 440. And then I'm going to use O'Malley at 460. Now, when I gave this out yesterday, the numbers were a little different. So those are the first three. That's bowling. I'm hoping to get the easy ones out of the way. And then the fourth leg is Gaethje via KO. And that's a plus 600. That parlay pays 13-1. So all I got to do is get to Gaethje. Gaethje could knock Topuria out, and I think there's some chance of that. 13-1. Now, let's talk out of the other side of my mouth. Meanwhile, and I can see Topuria here, 560. I see a lot of 540s, 550s, and it'll be 5 minus 500 by the time the fight goes off because the tsunami is coming in on Gaethje. So let's just take easy numbers, Topuria at minus 500, or let's go 560 for 2 units. That returns 2 units if I win. If I lose, however, I lose 11 units. No problem, because if I lose, Gaethje just won me 13. So I have a situation where I can win one or win two, and there's no risk. I'm all about that, guys, because this is really kind of a circus card. It's not a typical card. There's going to be some surprises.
Okay. for the novice bettor who's tuning this in because of all the pomp and circumstance, Lou, let me ask you a weather-related question again, and maybe we throw the Derek Lewis and the Hokit fight out. Would there be live opportunities for unders because as we see maybe the heat and humidity impact maybe the first or second fight, is that an angle to attack? Or is this, hey, let's factor it in pre-fight, knowing that that weather is going to wear guys down? I'm just thinking, like, if I see guys like, oh man, the cardio actually looks pretty good, maybe a plus money on the over for rounds might be advantageous. Or is that something you would just eliminate wholeheartedly?
No, I think it's interesting to postulate. But when you're asking the question, I'm focusing in on Nickel and Daukus. And that's a clear over before it was outside. But now you add sweat and a little fatigue to it, and you got two grapplers that could end up just rolling around and somersaulting on the ground the whole way. I like that over in that fight anyway. And that's maybe where I would steer you to try and answer that question.
I love it. One dog that I do think potentially could be live is Michael Chandler. And he always looks the part. We know he's going to be in tip-top shape. That's for sure. Felt like he waited for Conor McGregor for 8 years. I don't know how many years it actually was. Against that the Brazilian superstar, Mauricio Hufi. We know if this fight stays a distance, Hufi will knock him out with that pinpoint accuracy that he has. But I think the only time we've seen Hufi kind of in trouble is if you can pressure him, get inside and make it ugly, dare I say, grapple. Will Chandler ever do that? We know he's got grappling roots, Wu. Could you see a situation where a smaller man gets inside, negates that jab and that reach advantage that Hufi has, and make this grimy? Can you see any potential upset there?
Dave, I think Mike Chandler got here by being as reckless as he has and never practicing wrestling, even though he's a capable wrestler. But now he's 40. He wants another fight or two. And if he does, he better find a way to make this competitive, because he's been placed there to be a tackling dummy. So Chandler has to blitz. He has to get Hufi down and play the Benoit St. Denis game on him. And I think he's got it in him. I think Chandler is an interesting proposition. Chandler inside the distance, 650. Chandler just straight, plus 460. Either way, I think I'm going to be on one of those two, just hoping that Chandler is just more worried about taking care of his family and permeating his career than putting on a show.
All right, brother, last one from me. We know it's one of our favorite times of the year. It is Christmas in June. Omaha opens today. We get two of the openers today, two tomorrow. Any futures left for you, and maybe any leans here on the first 2 day of games?
The futures for Gamblu clients are really well positioned. Carolina 22-1, West Virginia 10-1, Bama 16-1, and Texas 15-1. So I have two in each bracket. If I'm looking at it blank and approaching this series now with no bets, I have to tout Carolina as the team to beat. Why? Pitching? A. B. Well, no one was there last year, were they? But 2 years ago, North Carolina was, and much of that team is still in North Carolina. I have to give them a premium for that. The other team that I have to look at would be Texas. I think Georgia's the team that pulls a hammy in Omaha only because they rely too much on the long ball.
45 seconds to go, Lou. For your clients out there in the Stanley Cup, the passion for the puck, as you call it, did you get Jordan Staal at 25-1 to be the Conn Smythe winner here?
I did, and I released it after he scored the fourth goal the other night. I put it right out. I looked. It was 25-1. Now it's dropped considerably further. But for DraftKings to be that slow on the pull was that you don't beat them that often.
Johnny on the spot. He's now odds on, Lou, to win the Conn Smythe, setting a record we haven't seen since 1973, which is, oh, by the way, the last time the Knicks won the NBA title. And, oh, by the way, we were watching probably guys like George. We were watching George Foreman and Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali back in those days as well.
Darn right.
Lou, you're the best. Check out the Bout Business podcast, the Sneak Teeth Pod. It is spectacular. Lou, we always appreciate your information each and every week. Mom and Dad send their love from Virginia Beach. Our best bets, they're coming up next right here on VSiN by the Books. We'll be right back.
VSiN by the Books, right here on VSiN.
We continue VSiN by the Books. Jensen Lewis, championship season is upon us. That means VSiN Pro can help you bet it smarter. It's a limited time offer, pretty good one. Early bird pricing is available right now for our football season special for just $175. What do you get? Well, you're going to get a lot. The sooner you sign up, the more value you'll get out of it. So full access to everything we do across every major sport throughout the entirety of the Super Bowl, which is in February. That means the continuing coverage of the NBA Finals, Stanley Cup Final, World Cup beginning today in earnest for Team USA, plus Major League Baseball all summer long. You're going to get those daily best bets, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop projections, 24/7 video on the VSiN Watch app, and June 22nd, which also aligns, I believe, with the return of House of the Dragon. We're going to release our NFL betting guide, which is going to attack those futures, win totals, divisional races, full season ahead for the NFL. So head over to VSiN.com/subscribe right now, VSIN.com/subscribe. Jensen, I got to know Mitch and Paul, oh boy, about 7-8 years ago, back when I was still in Chicago, and we do remotes here for VSiN when I was with another network. And we always talked a little Game of Thrones. Are you as into, because the 22nd, we're going to be watching the premiere and making sure we get the deadline in for Adam Burke for our football special. There's a lot going on here at the end of the month.
Oh, yeah. And I want to say the exact date is June 21st there for First. House of the Dragon. Will be the season premiere. The Game of Thrones, one of the foundational TV series of our generation, maybe of all time. One of the greats to ever be put on these great airwaves. Speaking of, one of the great promos of all time for a sports book, Dave, FanDuel is offering a United States of America promo. It is a 10,000% boost. 10,000. It just gets you to even money. Sorry. Yeah, just gets you to even money. For the United States to have one or more shots on goal tonight against Paraguay. So it is the easiest free money for those of you in legal jurisdictions that have FanDuel operating there. I would highly encourage you to take advantage of that tonight. Speaking of the Dragon, it has been that way for overs. Yesterday, we almost swept the entire board of plays on overs. We're going right back to the well here, Dave. Couple in pocket that I have for you. Let's start with the Tigers and the Guardians, over 8 at minus $1.31. Detroit is averaging 6.9 runs per game in the month of June. They are sending out Jack Flaherty tonight against Tanner Bibee, who has had a real trouble with run suppression here over the last month or so. Cleveland, though, 14-8 to the over as a home favorite, which they will be tonight. So this feels pretty cut and dry. So 8.5 there at Circa. I found an 8 at Novig, minus $1.31. We'll play that and not look back tonight. Marlins and Pirates. The Marlins yesterday with the Diamondbacks were the only over I didn't get home. I'm going to say because they had the roof closed there in South Beach. There is no roof at PNC Park tonight. I love where this spot lines up for both of these opportunities with these teams. Miami, Dave, as a road underdog, 13-4-3 to the over. And Pittsburgh, one of the best teams in the National League, as a home favorite, 18-5 to the over.
Wow.
Don't overthink it. Over 8, minus $1.25 on Novik, 8.5 at Circa. So I'm comfortable with both those numbers. Diamondbacks head down to the Queen City to take on Cincinnati, over 9.5 at even money. Two teams, again, in that road underdog and home favorite position. Arizona 14-9-2 to the over as a road underdog. Cincinnati 10-4, good buddy, to the over as a home favorite. And then finally, an overtrain we've been riding here in Charm City. Baltimore welcomes in the San Diego Padres to begin a three-city road trip for Sandiagans. You Ron Burgundy fan, I believe it's Sandiagans. over 8.5, minus $1.19. Baltimore is averaging 5.6 runs a game offensively. They are also allowing over 4.5 runs per game in June. So if that holds, they're going to take care of the over by themselves. So over 8.5, minus $1.19. The overtrain, Dave, on a Friday night, rinse and repeat here for you daily Diamond bettors.
I can't say what Ron Burgundy thought that San Diego, what it meant, the city's origin. So I can just say that Christina Applegate's character said she disagreed. And, well, we're going to have to agree to disagree. If you look at the board right now, what's going on at the Canadian Open, the RBC Canadian Open, it does feel like a World Cup. has broken out here because we got a South African and EVR, Eric Van Rooyen, atop the board here at 8-under with a Canadian and Matthew Anderson. You know, where'd this guy come from? He's tied for the lead at 8-under. We got an Australian or a New Zealander and Ryan Fox. He's at 7-under. And then Americans with Brooks Koepka at 7-under, Sam Burns at 6-under, Aldrich Pakkita, the long-hitting South African, is there at 6-under as well. So pretty interesting live betting opportunities there. Want to give out my official plays here all week. It's been a blast breaking down the UFC Freedom 250 card here. Great having Lufin Carroll on in the last segment. Please like and subscribe to First Strike Podcast with me and Rob Moreno every week. We had Ricardo Lamas on this week. His expertise from being one of the best fighters ever at 145 pounds. He has fought outside. He knows what the conditions are. Lou alluded to it as well, that it is going to take effect on some of these fights here potentially. And I do think it might affect a guy like Derek Lewis. And that's why I'm on the Josh Hokit side here. To win via KO at minus $1.20 here, because that the longer that fight goes, the advantage goes to Josh here. He's a big favorite here. I don't lay that price point there, but I do think that eventually he'll get the Black Beast out inside of 15 minutes. Cyril Gane, we talked about it in the main event, and Lou alluded to it as well. I'm on the Gane side here. This is one of the more mobile, big heavyweights that we have in the UFC. And now if you look at the pictures, and again, my heart is with the storyline of being the first ever three-division champion in Alex Pereira. But my head says the Frenchman, because Pereira looks like a blown-up heavyweight. How much will that cardio get sapped in that humidity in D.C. if this fight goes into a second round, into a third round, or fourth round? The Frenchman will be fine with it. I don't know that the Brazilian will. Sean O'Malley, I don't see a whole lot of danger coming back here from the Canadian and Ayman Zahabi. I think you can look at parlay pieces here from the Sugar Show. I know he says he wants to get a finish. I don't know if he needs to. I do like the over 2.5 in that fight as well. And I was so glad to get Lou's thoughts on the Michael Chandler side, because I felt like I was on an island that Chandler can actually beat the Brazilian and Mauricio Hufi. And Lou sees it the way that I do, that if Chandler is looking to extend his career in the UFC, he can't get pieced up in 5 minutes and get knocked out in this thing. He's got to show the staying power that we know that he actually has. Make this grimy. I think he's really live here at almost $5 here. So I got that at plus 495 a couple weeks ago. It's come down a little bit. I'd still look to the Chandler side here to pull off a quote-unquote massive upset. And in the main event, my favorite play there is, I know Lou wants to get to the Gaethje side completely. I don't know if I can get there, but I do think it goes longer into the D.C. night in front of the President of the United States here. I think Gaethje is not going to be killed inside of 5 minutes here. I think he can have some staying power. He's so durable. We've seen that in the past. I know that Topuria is viewed as different. And if he gets Gaethje out of there inside of 5 minutes, I'll tip my cap to him. But my money is on the over 7.5 minutes here in the main event come Sunday night. I do think this is going to be a little bit longer. Could he shock the world and beat Topuria? It's a possibility. But again, not willing to bet that side. I'm going to bet that we at least go deep into that second round and beyond. So give me that over 7.5, and I'll be holding my breath for the first 5 minutes of this fight. And by the way, I'm going to join Gil and Kelly in the next show here in the numbers game. Happy to break down this fight card a little bit more in detail there with those guys coming up after us here. Jensen, College World Series side, I know you're going to be viewing that as well. Any actionable spots here in Omaha as we get ready to get the ting of the bats here there in Omaha?
Yeah, joined Will Hill for the Should Have Bet More podcast. Great episode, maybe an all-time episode ratings-wise, considering what we talked about. Always a great follow there. I think, honestly, day one, and we'll reiterate this for anyone looking day-to-day, check where the wind is blowing, especially day and night. The day game today, or the afternoon, I should say, is West Virginia-Troy. Winds gusting out to left field, left center at about 15 miles an hour. That's pretty significant. And also on the nightcap, there's a reason why this total is all the way down to 8. Wind gusts coming in from right center at about 20 miles an hour gusting in. This is a much bigger park, Dave. So teams that have great ERAs over the duration of the season are good spots to back. You're looking at West Virginia, North Carolina, Texas, all top 15 ERA-wise in Division I this year. So those would be great teams throughout. And also, if you're going to Rocco's, speak of us well. We were there last year as a contingent for VSIN. Make sure you're getting those Mountaineer shots in plenty. If you do see head coach Randy Mazey over there, tell him Jensen sent you, and please give him one to hydrate with. It is going to be a scene. I cannot wait to see the games play out. At the end of 2 weeks, Dave, someone will be remembered forever, and it is going to be theater all the way through the end of June.
Okay, in a Lewis Ross administration, we will set theoretical lines. I'm going to put it at a half with the Stanley Cup Final and the NBA Final. Monday, what's the over-under of games we're still talking about come Monday? If you're taking the under, that means zero, and both series get under. Concluded over the weekend.
Under. Series are done over the weekend.
Wow, you heard it here first. If you want more VSiN, of course you do. You've been watching the FanDuel Sports Network. You go to VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app. We've got a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, they are up next.